We'll be reading from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes and the 90th Psalm, reading first from Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Or we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early, that we may with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in our days. Reading from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. Time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I want to speak to you tonight under the topic of probation and time. The eternal God works is in time, and He exists outside of time. Now don't ask me how that is. Time is a mystery. Does anybody know what time it is? Now by the time you told me what time it is, it wouldn't be that time. It would be something else. But He exists outside of time. He brought time in existence in the creation and caused all things in respect to creation in general to come to pass with determined and fixed times. Nothing just happens. God has decreed all, every detail of creation and life and being. We all are allotted certain days with events determined to transpire within those days and according to other contingent events. practically all the Bible speaks of these times and their relation to the fall of man and the consequent curses and ruin brought upon creation and its final redemption. When is that going to be? I don't know, but it will be. Until then, we are on probation. The coming of the Messiah, the seed of woman, the bruising of his heel, and the crushing of the serpent. Genesis 3:15. Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Now, I don't know how anybody, mortal men, can comprehend something endless. I can think of something a long, 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 long time, but forever? That's not within our capacity to comprehend that. But in the increase of his government, the Bible says, not only his government, but it will increase forever. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The Lord, zeal of the Lord of hosts, will perform this. We saw his appearing, or rather we see his appearing, which was announced to Zechariah, Mary, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4 and 4. John, recognizing him as the Lamb of God, foretold by Abraham centuries ago, hundreds of years ago, John recognized him. There he is today. Wow! Something prophesied hundreds of years ago, and it's now. And he who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, and who would purge and purify his harvest. There's the disciples' question about Elijah's coming, which is to precede Christ's coming, and Jesus' affirmation is that he had come. I said, the Bible says Elijah has to come before that. He said he did. For the person of John the Baptist. And you did what you would to them in Matthew 17, 10 through 13. Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord, in his incarnation, grow up through childhood, youth, mature, and finally into manhood. And although he was God, the Bible says he had to learn obedience as a son. God had to learn to be a son. Great mystery. Once again, time. Even at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, he told his mother that his time had not yet come. That's when he changed the water into wine. His refusal to be made a king by either people or the devil. He could not and would not be made a king until it became time for him to be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These were wrong persons, wrong reasons, and the wrong time. John 6:15. Jesus' declaration, finally, that his time had come, that the time had come for the bruising of the serpent's head and the casting out of Satan in John chapter 12 and verse 31 Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. This was the beginning. I don't know, I might get into somebody's eschatology on this. This was the beginning of the millennium. The 1,000 years of the devils being chained. And we're living in that time still yet. You said, is he chained? How come is he having run? Well, the chain, you know, doesn't stop activity. It just limits it. Jesus is in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. Had to be there exactly 3 days and 3 nights before his resurrection to demonstrate that he was truly dead. To prove also the impossibility of his own disciples, or the possibility to believe on him without the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out. Pentecost. The great promise of the Father that had been looked for, waited upon for many generations. When the time was fully come, the Scripture says, exactly 50 days after Passover, and all the Passover had passed, the heavens were opened, the earth shook, and God came down and baptized His people in the essence of Himself. There are times in which we are given repeated warnings, notices, exhortations, instructions of their imminence. Israel's time, God's long suffering with that chosen, rebellious people throughout the centuries of the judges, the kings, the prophets. Israel's many incomplete revivals and reformations always ending up in a lapse back into a worse apostasy. Isaiah's celebration in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, or rather, is celebrated, Here am I, send me, was not a surrender to win souls as a missionary, as a lot of folks use. Who will go? Who shall ascend? Here am I, send me. In fact, it doesn't have evangelism in view at all, only reprobation. It was a singular call to preach and proclaim the displeasure, the wrath of God with Israel for her apostasy, her hypocrisy, her wickedness, and her consequent judgment and desolation until her time was gone forever. I'll read that to you from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the Lord moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go. And it didn't say, Go and win souls and win the world to Jesus Christ. But he says, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears,
and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Absolutely locking people up into reprobation. God don't be saved. You rebel too long. The missionary is not going to open your eyes, get you saved. He's going to lock you up in a more firm desolation. This same theme is echoed in the preaching of John the Baptist and Israel's murder of him. The call and warnings of Jesus in his preaching, condemning them for their evils and warning those as well as us of ruinous and hateful religion. Our Lord's weeping over the city and declaring that her time had been fulfilled and that the judgment must now come. I read that from Matthew 23, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, see if I've got the right passage here. Matthew 24. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were there before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This same example is set before us repeatedly in the book of Hebrews as a warning to all that time will run out. The clock is ticking. Our probation will be over. There will come a time when God will put up with our rebellion and disobedience no longer. If we have drifted away, drawn back, failed to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, we shall be irremediably lost. I read from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will, hear His voice. While it is called today, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore was I grieved that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in. The entreat stops after a while, and people are locked up into reprobation. The Jezebels and other church leaders who have been warned and given space to repent. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts. There are times which are given sequence. One thing has to happen before the other. But no clue as to how long the time is between events. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all of these are merely the beginning of sorrows. And then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That had been fulfilled to a great extent in the early church. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall be waxed cold. The history of the Christian church is a bloody history. It's not pretty at all. It shows the wickedness of man and the hatred of the devil of Christ and his gospel. In Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And it's not going to be a rejoicing time. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. You better make sure you're in that bunch. There are times, these words, however, tell us of the certainty and the imminence of the Lord's return. The time is set. It will not come any sooner. Cannot be hastened. It will come no later. It cannot be delayed. There are many, many times in which we have no clue of what is happening or what might happen. We must simply pray, trust, wait, and be patient, and never, never, never give up hope. There's the matter of Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. His condition was sick. Sickness was serious and alarming, life-threatening. In fact, it killed him. Jesus was his friend, and he loved him and was able to heal him from the disease. Prayer, petition, believing petition had been made, and that prayer had been heard. Yet the Lord deliberately delayed his coming for a time. He was demonstrating his power over death. So far as God's purpose is concerned, hope, hopelessness is not a word in his vocabulary. Bodily failure is not the end, but the means and the path to resurrection life. He was demonstrating that death cannot do its work in his presence. He must stay away until death has done its mortifying work on the flesh. He was also demonstrating that a divine delay always results in a greater and a more glorious work of God than we could have possibly imagined. There's a delay in the answer to Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Let me see in verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand that the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. For when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Don't quit praying. Things are happening while you pray. Notice what he says happening here. For the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now, this is an angel. And he's saying a earthly prince come and withstood me. Well, it wasn't the prince of the king of Persia, the man that is walking around on the earth. It was the spirit behind the prince of Persia that came and hindered him. There is a warfare, a spiritual warfare going on when you pray, especially when you're praying against evil, when you're crying against God, something going on in the heavens. You're just not, God's not ignoring that grieving heart, the cry in our soul when we're crying out to God. It's getting through. You may not see anything happening, but things are happening in the heavenlies when the saints pray. Prayer meeting is not just a ho-hum thing. It sets the battle of spiritual forces in the heavenlies to work. Lost my places here. Bodily failure is not the end, but the means and path to resurrection life. He was demonstrating that death cannot do his work in his presence. Death cannot execute its worth when the Prince of Life is present. And so he had to stay away until death has done his mortifying work on the flesh. He is also demonstrating that the divine delay always results in a greater and more glorious work of God than we could have possibly imagined or could not even think to ask for. So God permits certain weakening powers to assail us, that His strength may be perfected in us. For that reason, there was delay in the answer to Paul's prayer in respect to the thorn of his flesh. He said, I asked the Lord to take that thing away from me. I don't need this. He said, My grace is sufficient for you. And so the Lord allows certain inconveniences, certain sorrows, certain pains, certain struggles for our sakes, not to punish us, but to develop His power in us. There's a delay of God's answer to prayer on Paul's prayer on that ill-fated Rome-bound ship. Many days without sun, stars, or moon, they didn't have any idea where they were. They had lost all their sailing equipment. They couldn't control the ship anymore. And they had lost all hope they could ever be said. No let up from the darkness and tempest. Nothing to comfort anyone except the Lord's assurance that was spoken through Paul. He said, There stood beside me tonight an angel of the gods, whom I am and whom I serve. And he said, Don't worry about it. Ship's going to sink. Don't be shipwrecked. But not a hair of the head is going to fall. Nobody's going to die. Oftentimes we think God must save the ship in order to save our lives. He's not interested in saving our ships, but only our lives. He's demonstrating that He is not saving anything but our souls. And that may incur the loss of everything else. There are times which we, like the disciples in the storm-tossed boat on the sea, think that we're about to sink. Almost despair of hope. And we wonder why the Lord let us get in this mess. Like they must have thought, it's too late. And then, just when they had just about given up, here he comes. Where is he coming from? What's he walking on? Walking on water. You think God can't get to you? He comes. There are times and seasons which the Lord has put under His own power, and it's none of our business when these things shall be. You might as well give up trying to figure out eschatological details. When it does come to pass, always, it will be far more glorious and better and wonderful than anything we have been looking for. The disciples' questions concerning when the Lord was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. It's not a physical kingdom, what they lost, but a glorious spiritual kingdom that was coming. Then there's the probation and time in respect to harvest. Harvests are reaped. Patience and waiting for the harvest is prominent throughout the Scriptures. James chapter 5. Verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against the other, brethren, unless ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But above all things, brethren, swear not, but neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Harvests are reaped according to what is sown. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. If our works have been of the Spirit, we shall reap hope and promise of life. There be no question of what sort our works are when the fruit is revealed at the harvest. God fixes and orders the time of harvest. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but upon your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them who obey not the gospel of God? For believers, this trial of our works, the fruit of our harvest, is until the iniquity of the Amorites are fulfilled, whatever that is from Genesis 15 through 16. They couldn't enter into the promised land until the people who had it had gotten bad enough. The flood of Noah's time came when all the earth had totally corrupted itself. One righteous man left on earth. Can you think about that? If the Bible is true, and it is, that's so. There was a time when the whole earth had corrupted itself and only one righteous man was left on earth. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed when there was only one righteous man left in the city. And he had to be brought out before the evil cluster of Sodom could be reaped. Even so, the evil fruit of this earth must be brought to maturity before it may be reaped. It may get a lot worse than it is now. When that time comes, however, it will be reaped. When Christ died on the cross, the devil was chained. You're wondering what that chain is. He was restrained, the devil was, from blinding the eyes of God's elect people from seeing gospel light, Revelation 21 through 3. This restraint, our limitation on the devil's activity, will continue until the 1,000 years. I'm going to get in this eschatological trouble here. Or the time of the church age is fulfilled. The old devil got a chain on him right now. He can only go as far as the Lord will permit him. But there'll be a while when he's going to be loosed. And he'll be loosed and go out and ripen the full harvest of the wickedness of the earth. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations who are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, to number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up to the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and the false prophets are. So you don't have to worry about it. He's not going to do what he thinks he's going to do. Profitable doctrine that we may learn from this. Number one, we learn that the living God of the Bible is a God of purpose. Nothing comes to pass by happenstance. The fact that we have been born, given days, time on this earth, means that He has a purpose for our having been here. You're here on purpose. It just wasn't just because your mom and daddy didn't practice birth control that you were born. You're here on purpose. For all of the time which God has brought into being, there is that space which is particularly our time. Now is that time. These are our days. Within these, our days, God has probated our entire lives. We are on trial. Yes, we are. God checking us out. How long we have to do what He has told us to do, what we must do if we are to survive and live, we do not know. We only know that it's today and there may be no tomorrow. We're sure that everything prophesied in the Bible will come to pass, not 1 second earlier or later than its fixed time. Nothing shall come except in its ordered sequence of events. What God said shall come first will come first. There's a very good reason for all divine delays and answers to our prayers and deliverances from our problems and our sorrows and our weepings and our fears and our uncertainties. These are all God's servants for the work that He is doing in us all. All of this will work to the end of the greatness and the glory of His salvation. All will ultimately exalt Christ. You ain't going to hell cussing God. all will ultimately exalt Christ, give glory to God and the blessedness of His name forever and ever. A lot of that is going on in this present time. Verse 17 tells us, the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. In due time, we are seeing the harvest of our lives and labors and the fruit of what we have done. This is what's being described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Christ. Now if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Your work, everything that you've done on this earth, is going to be laid out and exposed. The day shall declare it. And it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Such fruits of ours are in this text people. That's the work that's being tried. People, those affected by our lives and our ministries. Paul describes himself and other apostles as builders, and the Corinthian as the building. And as the Lord puts them on probation and trial by fire, so He will do for our work. They will either survive as gold, silver, precious stones, or burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. We rejoice when we see the fruit of our labors standing fast through fiery trials, and we sorrow when some labors prove to be only superficial flesh, failing to stand. We may not have anything left but a pile of ashes, but nevertheless be saved by the grace of God. This trial and judgment cannot possibly be a judgment of works after our death. Those who die in the Lord are blessed. There is no future judgment for them. All sorrow is gone forever. No tears. They've all been wiped away. John the Baptist's announcements of the advent of Christ picture him on the threshing floor, winnowing out a present ongoing harvest. Matthew 3:11-12. Happy are we who are now experiencing His threshing and winnowing and finding ourselves gathered into His garner. The time of the probation of our works, our sowing is now, this present time, while we live on this earth. Our Lord, however, spoke often of His parables of another harvest, deferred but surely coming at the end of the age. Matthew 13 and 30. Go, let both grow together until the harvest, and the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather my wheat into the barn. And verse 41 says, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Unlike the harvest of God's good grain, which is threshed and purged on God's threshing floor, His children, which are chastened and tried by fire and purified, this entire harvest of the wicked is immediately thrown into the fire and consumed. Revelation 14 pictures these wicked as a single cluster of grapes cast into the winepress of God's wrath. And we're now seeing the end of the probation of the wicked and all creation ruined by the fall. The probation of the creation and the final judgment of the wicked, it has an appointed time. Satan, the devil, has been cast out of heaven and knows that he has but a short time. Revelation 12:13. Demons know they have a limited time and cry not to be tormented before that time. Matthew 8:28-29. The earth was cursed because of sin. Genesis 3:17. And waits for the lifting by judgment and deliverance. Romans 8:19-22. And after the judgment and the lifting of that curse in creation, there will be no more curse. Let me read that from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made, the creation, made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and of the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until to now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, but for a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Father in heaven, we thank you that we are governed by a wise and perfect and good God, the Creator. We pray that these fearful words, these awesome times, which are prophesied and shall surely come to pass, are true. Comfort us now tonight, if we have a valid hope in Christ, by putting our trust and confidence and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior and deliverer from our sins. And warn the rebel, lest he perish in the way. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.